Hello, family. I'm still Vanessa Natick. At this time, I would like to introduce our second speaker, D.C. Chuck.
Hey, family, I'm Chuck Manatee. And I'm excited, man. Because I serve a God who creates excitement. I am so grateful that I'm not on it today. Such a privilege, man, to be here speaking and not on it. Good God Almighty. My clean date is March 10th, 2003, where I surrendered to the high cost of low living. I have a sponsor, Kevin Richardson. Ramon Richardson. It's just a privilege, man. Mo is my sponsor, brother, so we come from the same stock. We don't use no matter what. No matter who stays, who goes. And I love you, David W. Homage to David W. The man that taught me like everything before I got my sponsor.
Take your time, baby.
New York, I love you. Yeah. And I am so grateful, man, to be here, man. But my topic is codependency, right? Or needed. And when I got that topic, man, that fit right for me. Codependency. Now I'm going to take y'all somewhere, right? So, is there any kids in here? All right. Anybody with 20 years or more, can you raise your hand? Okay. Thank you. Thank you for a guy like me for keeping the doors open, man. You know, I was that guy that feared coming through the doors because I didn't want to change. And at the end, I had on a size 14 boot, on wear but a 9. I had a pair of sweatpants on with no pockets in them. I had a string for a belt. I had tissue on my half a stem in my sock. The other sock I used to wipe my tail with the previous night when I was under the bridge. Like, if you don't forget that last one, man, you probably haven't finished. And I didn't use the tissue because I didn't want to mess my stem up. So I used my stinky sock to wipe my tail. I used to defecate in a bucket. Now, before that, I was a two-time National Golden Glove champion. Good God Almighty, on my way. Came back from Canada, smoked a hula for the first time, and I had lost my mind. Two weeks later, I was hitting the pipe. At the end, I was begging for change at Union Station. I was eating out the trash can, and I found out what a derelict was. And I also want to say to the newcomer, man, to just plug in. Because my first meeting, I had on a size 14 boot, man, and I was in New York City, and the guys, and I was sitting in the back because I didn't look like you guys, man. And, you know, New York, man, they fly. You know, and those guys, man, I had on them size 14 boots, and, man, they did not judge me. I was in a meeting, man. I came up front, and a lady named Cynthia, she wouldn't mind me saying it. She gave me a hug. I tried to pull away, and she wouldn't let me. My underarm was reeking. My underwear were boo-booed on both sides. And man, I was reeking. But she did not let me go. When I first got here, I needed a haircut and a hug. When I got that, then I found out that I needed an overhaul of a spirit. I had spiritually died, man. Listen, my first sexual experience was with a family member. And I ejaculated at a very young age. So I equate ejaculation with pain. So every time pain came my way, I masturbated. Because I wanted to change the way that I felt, man. So in public places, I was addicted to the feeling. I was codependent on that, man. So at that time, I was waiting on her. Then I was also the addict that smoked crack with his mother. And then I found out that newcomer, it is no more excuses. But I used that because I couldn't help her when that man was beating on her. And the kids was teasing me, saying that was your father. And it wasn't. That was her man. And at 8 years old, man, he hit me in the head with a .38 pistol. Because he was reeking of alcohol. I'm talking about the pain, man. Like he bust my head open, man. And he hurt me. I get stitches. And the good part of it, he was gone. So I thought. About a month later, man, I saw the old rusty Cadillac outside the apartment. Mama had let me down. He was in the house. I looked in his eyes. It was bloodshot red. I knew it was going to be another problem. He was still there. He was 6'4", 250 pounds of nothing. So as I came up, man, hated bullies and I hated advantage takers. It was conditioned in my spirit, man, because that's what happened to me. Now listen, y'all. Listen, newcomer. This was before the drugs. I haven't even used yet. So I became codependent, man, like on people and relationships. And then I built a relationship with a little guy, man. His name was Lil Willie.
Hey, everybody. I'm Lil Willie.
And Lil Willie was the little guy, man, that stayed with me because he didn't want nobody to hurt me. Like my mom left me with everybody. And I wanted to protect my little brother at the time. I had a little brother that I had to protect. I had a little brother that loved me more than anybody. We didn't have a father. We just had my mom's friends. So that codependency, man, I found out all I wanted to be was loved. Come on, man. That's all it was, man. I was looking for love, man. That's all it was. So I remember, man, I went to the Nationals, had won. I went to Canada, came back. I won a silver medal, man. And they gave me a belt. I carried my belt everywhere, right? 2 weeks later, man, I had started using. Something had happened. See what happened? I went to that party, man, and what happened was that peer pressure, man. And Chuck, try this. Because my insides was already conditioned for that. That replacement. Just don't leave me. So I remember, man, using, man. And the bells went off. And 2 weeks later, I was hitting the pipe and instantly, man, I became a bum. I never went back to boxing. I stayed on the streets for a very long time, for 10 years. And I remember, man, I had a daughter, right? And I remember I was in Union Station, and going to get to this Union Station story, right? That is a wonderful story, right? When I was in Union Station, right, that was my place where I went and showered, and I was the guy that, while you were eating and you were waiting to go see the monument and things of that nature, I couldn't wait for you to get up, because tourists, especially white tourists, like, I love white people, man. Like they used to leave whole sandwiches, because they so excited that, you know, they got 20 minutes to eat, and I remember them saying, "Come on, kids, get your things, let's go." And the addict that I was, that I waited in, because I can get sandwiches and soggy potato chips and half-eaten pickles, and I get a big cup, and to justify the meal, I get a fresh straw, a bun. And I remember, man, I was tired this day. A little white girl from Tennessee came up, and she said, "Mister, are you hungry?" I said, "Yes, I am." And she gave me a voucher. And it was a voucher to the food court. Man, I got a steak and cheese, curly fries, and a Troy Coat. Fresh. But it was something about this time, man, when her teacher came down the escalator, and she said, "It's a better way." I didn't know the way at the time, but what she did was she slapped $20 in my hand. And instantly I wrapped the sandwich up, put it in my pocket, took the soda, and up the escalator I went. The disease dictated what I did. It made me march. God, man, a bum. So I remember this particular time, right? At the time, man, my wife now, right, she used to come down the food court, and I'm talking about, I was so codependent in her, because she was loving me more than I loved myself. And I remember her coming down with her girlfriends in their beautiful dresses and their manicured nails and their hair done. And she watched me this particular time. And she said, "Are you hungry?" I said, "I most certainly am." And she didn't care how I looked and smelled. And she came down the food court. And she said, "Get what you want." She said, "Get what you want." And I ate. And Kenny, I ate. Not only did she do it one time, she did it multiple times. I didn't even see how beautiful she was. All I saw was it was a free meal because I was a bum.
Yes, sir.
I had lost the ability to take care of myself. I was so codependent on that. I used to wait in the rain for her to come across, because I had lost the ability to take care of myself. A bum, man. Man, I used to get high under the bridge, New York Avenue, defecating in a bucket. I'd take a hit and put my head on the wall and say, "It doesn't get any better than this." Yes. Then I realized, listen, I don't have no more to smoke. I got to come back over. I got to walk from Ivy City to Union Station and Panhandle all over again and start this thing all over again. I was tired. So I remember her telling me this particular time, and it's codependency, right? I remember her saying, "Come back tomorrow, because they was going to try to get me into a program." I didn't make it. I did something once in my life. I had dropped to my knees and told God, "Listen, I'm tired. I don't want to use no more." So I didn't make it. But what I did make it to is I made it to a church, and they gave me a one-way ticket to New York City. Good God Almighty. Man, that recovery process. Like, I remember when I got there and I had those big old boots on, and I had them, I'm talking about the sweatpants in March, right? And when I got there, they had a juice dispenser that I could get as much juice as I wanted. They had Salisbury steak that day, potatoes and gravy with onions, They had three different types of dessert. And man, I waited in line, and what they did, they said, "Brother, you go ahead of us." Like they knew, like when I got here, you knew I was on it. And the brother say, "Man, go on up, man, go eat." So I'm putting extra cookies in my pocket, and they say, "Listen, man, you can get as much as you want." A bum. I knew it was a new way to life. That's all I wanted, y'all. I sat down and I ate, and tears were coming out of my eyes because I wanted to stop, man. I really did. Listen, right across the street was the polo grounds. I heard stories about it. They say, "Don't go past the subway." And I took suggestions. "Listen, you from D.C., man, you ain't gonna make it over there." So I remember a counselor coming to me, man. May he rest in peace, by the name of David W.
Yeah, David, my man, yeah.
That was my sponsor. Like, he told me everything about life, about, you know, like as far as growing up. And he was just like that father figure, right, baby, that I had, was always searching for. He took me to his house and he showed me what prayer and meditation was, and how to, like, sit still for a minute. So I can hear exactly what was going on up there in Pleasantries. We used to talk about pleasant things, like when my grandmom used to put the apple pie in the windowsill. And I remember the first pair of Nikes that I got, because my mother bought my shoes at the grocery store. So we're talking about inadequacy. Yeah, I had the bubblegum soles on, and I was still grateful. They used to call me Charlie Brown, man. When I was a little boy, man, I had the big head with the big smile. And I remember that, man. And I stayed clean. My sister died. I came back to New York. Came back for her funeral. And I remember I went to my brother's party, and I saw Kim there. Now, mind you, I got 5 years clean at this time. Maybe 6 years clean, and I don't know nothing that went on at the party. All I know is that we had engaged on conversation like no other, and it had nothing to do with sex. Yeah, this woman has taught me what intimacy is. Now listen, I equated intimacy with, because if you don't have sex with me, you don't love me. I'm so codependent on that feeling. Yeah, listen, you mean to tell me? And then she simply told me one time, she says, "Baby, I just don't want to be poked on." So I had to understand what that meant. And it meant she didn't want to be poked on. Right? And yo, it didn't mean that, okay, well, if you don't do it, someone else will. You know, that's what I had brought to the marriage, man. So now I understand, like, what that means now. Women have, you know, some problems that go on. July the 16th of last year, we had conceived, and this is my wife, right? July the 16th of last year, my twin boys had died. She was pregnant. Listen, people that know me, man, we were ready, man. The twin boys had died, and 2 days later, she had to have emergency gallbladder surgery. You know, some things had, like, came down the pipe. Like, but I didn't use, right? I'm going to tell you what I did do. I went to a meeting. Yeah. I had to let the doctors do what they do, you know, and I went to a meeting. Listen, newcomer, you don't have to use even when you want to. You know, and I understand what that means, man. I don't ever want to be back under the bridge anymore. Now, remember I was telling you about that God that creates excitement? Yeah, now I implemented the source. See, I have a 12 and 12 and all that, like my sponsor, man. We got a wonderful sponsor. But listen, when your sons die, 12 steps, listen, I had to go to the source. Listen. I had to go to the source, man. I was my husband, and I ain't afraid to tell who he is. Like my pastor is in here. Not only that, listen. Thank you, Charlie. Like my pastor is in here. You know, and riding with my pastor, man, so I can get a chance to, you know, to find out the beauty of God, man. And that's who it is. That has saved me and sustained me from everything that was going on with me, man. Man, I was sick, wounded little boy. And all I wanted to do was protect my little brother, man. That's all I wanted to do. That's all I wanted to do. Narcotics Anonymous, man. It's a bridge back to life. Yes, sir. It did not say that we were going to get the wife, the kids, the job, and all that. It didn't say that. I just ain't want to use no more, man. And I do that. The people that know me know that when I come in, I talk about what's going on with me. And if I tell a lie, I'm only going to get help with the lie. So I have to come clean, man. Tell the truth, state the facts. Man, listen, I had to do that. And I remember my sponsor, man. Our sponsors like that, right? And I could be in the worst space of my life, and he'll always say, it's not doom and gloom. Listen, you ain't under the bridge no more. You got the right size shoes on. Yeah. On both sides. So, man, like I said, man, the newcomer is the most important. You know, if you're counting on days and everything, man, listen, man, just remember this. Next year, you'll be coming up on an anniversary. You know? On an anniversary. And I'm going to tell y'all what helped me with that sexual thing, man, is that I had to go see some outside help. And it's okay. I'm going to tell you that outside helped and helped me. Because I was sick with it, man. Even though that family member, man, is a part of, you know, and she's a sibling. And I was still the butt of the jokes, even with people that did never have seen me use. And I simply said to her one time, I said, listen, you was a part of that. And if you don't stop it, I will expose you. And we no longer speak. And it's all right with me. I'm here to, you know, be clean, man. When I was under the bridge, nobody came and got me anyway. And that's a self-appraisal for God, your own God, and your understanding. And nobody's going to jeopardize their recovery because I decided I wanted to go and use. You know, that's something that we have to do for ourselves.
Come on, man.
You know, I have a sponsee that's struggling. You know, and I say, man, he said, man, I ain't mean to lie to you. I said, nah, you lied to yourself. And I'm home in my bed. You the one out there, you struggling. So, hey, man, you got to come clean, man, to get clean and stay clean. You know, so I'm grateful. Listen, I'm not going to, this is going to be it right here because I will be rambling. I just wanted to touch on that codependency part. You know, and with that, man, thanks for letting me share.